This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
that's
Hayward.
What I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show, sponsored by RX Bar, whole food protein bars made with 100% whole ingredients with none of the added fillers or preservatives of the big corporate health bars. I am your host, Nick Sesento, flying solo it looks like tonight, taking the late game, nationally televised NBA TV, but we still got you covered here at CLNS Media. As the Boston Celtics kick off their four-game West Coast road trip against the Portland Trail Blazers in Portland, the number three-seeded team currently in the Western Conference, the Portland Trail Blazers hosting the Boston Celtics tonight. The Celtics were once again shorthanded with Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart, still out with varying injuries, which we will be talking about a little bit later on. The Blazers come into this game having just had a 13-game winning streak, 13-game winning streak broken by the Houston Rockets, the number one team in the entire NBA, the hottest team in the entire NBA with likely MVP James Harden. That's the only team that has beaten the Portland Trail Blazers in the last 14 games. Until tonight, the Boston Celtics, as we all know, came into this game off an emotional win of their own over the Oklahoma City Thunder on a Marcus Morris game-winning three this past Tuesday night in Boston. And the Celtics have just added to their resume, eating up Western Conference playoff teams. And not just Western Conference playoff teams, but top four-seeded Western Conference playoff teams in a row. And not just at TD Garden, which they did this past Tuesday against the Oklahoma City Thunder in TD Garden, but in Portland tonight, on the road, four-game winning streak, Kyrie Irving out, Jaylen Brown out, Marcus Smart out, and the Boston Celtics come in to take this game 105-100 to improve to 49-23 on the season. The Boston Celtics are now one win away from having 50 wins on the season. Again, defeating the number three seeded currently Portland Trail Blazers, who were just coming off a 13-game winning streak. And with that, I'm just going to go straight into my own unique little segment of the show. Nobody else does this, but I do it just because I like to break up some of the monotony of the talk with a little bit of music, what I like to call the keys to the game. And with that, we're going to go straight to the keys to the game. What about this game? When I say keys to the game, we should all know what that means. What about this? What did the Celtics do in this game to win it, to go into Portland and defeat the number three seeded team in the Western Conference and defeat them? The game was convincing. the entire game through. I mean, they're not convincing. The game was competitive the entire way through. The Portland Trail Blazers did accumulate a couple of double-digit leads throughout this game, but the Boston Celtics just kind of hung around and made their runs, tied it back up, then fell behind a little bit, then tied it back up, and then there in the fourth quarter, absolutely made their move to come up and win this game. The fourth quarter, 38, outscoring the Portland Trail Blazers 38-23 when it matters most. To come from behind, this game was competitive the entire game, especially that fourth quarter, but the Boston Celtics pulled it out after being down by double digits late in the third quarter, I believe, even into the fourth. I'm not exactly positive the exact timeline. I couldn't exactly believe what I was watching some of these players that I don't think a lot of Boston Celtics fans would have thought could come into a game like this and win not one but two, because we also have the Oklahoma City Thunder win this past Tuesday. But the keys to this game to me, what I saw watching this game, undeniable, Marcus Morris played hero again. When Avery Bradley was traded, and I think all, you know, well-informed Boston Celtics fans know that Avery Bradley wasn't traded because Danny Ainge didn't like Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley was traded because Avery Bradley was coming up on a contract season, was going to be owed a decent amount of money, and Gordon Hayward coming in, the salary cap space needed to be made, and Avery Bradley was the guy that got traded in exchange for Marcus Morris. And I think there were a lot of fans listening to this show and reading tweets and Instagram and Facebook groups and, you know, looking on the internet and just all over the place. There was not as much hype surrounding Marcus Morris coming into the season as I think there may have been for some other players. And boy, Marcus Morris really is a hero. 30 points tonight, but not just 30 points, but 30 points, 2 rebounds. Didn't really do much else in the box score, but 30 points, 2 rebounds on 9 of 13 shooting. Very efficient, but not just 9 of 13 shooting from the field, but 5 for 6 from 3. And also not just shooting the 3 ball, but hitting his free throws, drawing fouls and hitting free throws and going 7 for 7 from the line, hitting shots when the Boston Celtics needed him most. Marcus Morris was definitely the key to the game for the Boston Celtics. The next key to the game, I like to do about 3 of these, was definitely the three-point shooting. The Boston Celtics dominated this game in three-point shooting. 61% shooting, 61%, 11 for 18 from behind the arc. Versus 24%, terrible 24% for the Portland Trail Blazers, shooting 8 for 33. So not only did the Boston Celtics outshoot in terms of percentage, but it was much more effective, taking nearly half as many three-point shots, but hitting almost 3 times as many in terms of percentage, 2.5 times as many in terms of percentage. So the three-point shots were absolutely critical for the Boston Celtics. If you look at the Portland Trail Blazers, Damian Lillard went 4 for 11 from behind the three-point line. C.J. McCollum 1 for 4 from behind the three-point line. And then you had their bench, which is my third key to the game, just absolutely terrible from three. Not a single bench player hitting a single three-point shot, especially with guys like Connaughton shooting 0 for 6 from three. That's unacceptable. You can't have role players that are out there just completely stinking it up and chucking bricks off your bench. But as I mentioned, the bench is the third key to this game. The Boston Celtics bench doubled the output, doubled the production of the Portland Trail Blazers bench, 26 points to 13 points. And much of that can be attributed to Greg Monroe, who came in tonight with, who contributed tonight with 10 points and 10 rebounds in 20 minutes in the game, shooting 4 for 9 from the field and also 2 for 2 from the free throw line. But in addition to his double-double off the bench in limited minutes, Greg Monroe also had 4 assists, setting up his teammates with 4 assists and 2 blocks, often criticized Greg Monroe for his slow feet on defense. Greg Monroe had 2 blocks for the Boston Celtics tonight, and I don't have the season statistics in front of me. The basketballreference.com is usually what I use for those. I don't have that open in front of me right now. But I would imagine, when I look at the box score, I generally see Greg Monroe, and I don't want to sit here and make this a Greg Monroe show. I know fans of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show know that I like to talk about Greg Monroe. I've been a fan of Greg Monroe's for a while, but if you look at the statistics for Greg Monroe, he usually comes up with about a block a game for these Boston Celtics. I've seen him a couple of times with a couple of blocks a game. So while he is slow on rotation, nobody can deny that Greg Monroe is slow-footed on defense. He is making solid contributions on the defensive end, gathering some blocks. And I also think he's particularly good at denying entry passes when other teams try to go big and they're trying to post up. He's good at denying entry passes or poking away other players if they're trying to back him down on the block. He's good at poking those balls away, because if you look at his career statistics minus the past, you know, half a year or a year or so where he kind of fell out of favor with the Bucks and then got traded to the Suns, he was able to gather about a steal a game, with the Detroit Pistons when he was at his statistical height before coming here to Boston, where Brad Stevens seems to resurrect the careers of all players that have been kind of left in the dustbin by other teams or gladly traded or, you know, pushed out the door, such as Greg Monroe, such as Marcus Morris. Brad Stevens really makes a lot of these players look good. And I think we can safely say that with Brad Stevens, that it's not just he making them look good when they come here, because some of the players that he's made look good coming to Boston, once they've left Boston, haven't looked quite as good in their new homes. So Brad Stevens is a mastermind at finding ways to put the players that he has, the pieces that he has, whatever those pieces may be. And tonight those pieces were Marcus Morris, a rookie, Jason Tatum, who had 13 points, by the way, on 4 for 11 shooting. Not fantastic for the rookie, but he went to the line and hit 5 for 6 from the free throw line, which is important for him. Grabbed 6 rebounds and 4 assists, 2 steals as well. Jason Tatum, a rookie. Aaron Baines, a guy that, again, came over from Detroit, I think, as a free agent, wasn't wanted by maybe he was wanted by Detroit. I don't really know what Detroit was thinking with Baines, but he took $5 million to complete with the Boston Celtics, almost grabbing a double-double himself, 9 points, 9 rebounds, starting for the Boston Celtics, 19 minutes in starter minutes for the Boston Celtics, 4 for 8 from the field. Terry Rozier, third-year man, Terry Rozier. I believe this is his third year. Next year will be his last year on his rookie contract. Terry Rozier, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. This guy continues to lead the Boston Celtics in the absence of 3 of their starters, in the absence of their all-star, recently acquired, you know, blockbuster trade, Kyrie Irving, who we'll talk about his injury coming up shortly, or his nagging, lingering soreness in his knee coming up shortly, why he's not playing on this 4-game road trip and possibly even longer for the Boston Celtics. From most sources that I've read today, and I haven't read everything, I'm not an encyclopedia, but from most sources of what I've read today, it seems like Kyrie Irving will be back at some point. It hasn't been ruled out completely yet for the playoffs. Is expected to come back, but will be having a minor procedure to clear up some of what's bothering him in his knee. But it's supposedly a minor either, I don't remember the exact wording of where I read it, but non-invasive or less invasive, not as invasive surgery to clear up some of the stuff in his knee to alleviate some of the swelling and the soreness so that he will be at 100%. I believe, from my understanding, we might as well just get into this now, but I believe, from my understanding, Kyrie Irving would like to continue to give it a shot this season, whereas the Boston Celtics may be considering shutting him down to get him right for next season when Hayward and then come back. But anyways, as I was saying, this win tonight, 105 100-100. The Boston Celtics defeat the third-seeded Portland Trail Blazers, as of now the third-seeded Portland Trail Blazers in Portland, to kick off their four-game West Coast road trip. And at this point, we would like to invite everybody that may be up late, whether on the East Coast, the West Coast, Central Time, to dial the SeatGeek toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. And we'd just like to remind you that those toll-free call lines are sponsored by SeatGeek.com. No matter where you are, you can go to SeatGeek.com and find tickets for all of your favorite sporting events, whether it's the Boston Celtics, whether it's some other team, whether it's some other sport. It is not even sports at all. If you want concert tickets or other events, SeatGeek has you covered. And if you go to SeatGeek.com, at your purchase, you can put in the CLNS code. At purchase, the CLNS coupon code, I believe the code is CLNS, and you will get something special, probably a percent off on something that you purchase at SeatGeek. I'm not positive about exactly what it is, but something good will happen if you put in the CLNS code when you go to SeatGeek.com. So we invite all of our listeners to do that. SeatGeek is probably one of the most secure ways to purchase tickets to any entertainment event anywhere in the country, possibly the world, not sure about that, but at least anywhere in the country. Everything is online. You can print your tickets up, or you can show your smartphones if you're one of those type of people who like to have everything on your smartphone. You show your smartphones, and SeatGeek got you covered. They'll give you something that pops up on your smartphone, a barcode, one of those little things, and you can get into your event without even having to worry about printing it up, without having to worry about losing it, or without having to worry about fake tickets from scalpers that are trying to scam you. So SeatGeek.com, put in the promo code CLNS, and something good will happen, I promise. And with that, as I was mentioning, Brad Stevens puts his players into position to win. And without Kyrie Irving, without Jaylen Brown, without Marcus Smart, we already know Gordon Hayward has been out and he's not going to come back. I know a lot of fans have been trying to hold that hope that, you know, Gordon Hayward was going to come back. Gordon Hayward is not coming back this season, so he hasn't really been here, aside from 5 minutes at the beginning of the season. So I hesitate to put him on a list of, and we're missing Gordon Hayward. It's kind of a given. The Boston Celtics haven't had him this season, but if you want to, without Gordon Hayward, without Daniel Tice, the Boston Celtics severely depleted, not just in their starting all-star talent, but also in their depth. And despite all of that, despite giving significant minutes to players like Abdel Nader, who are directly out of the D League, tonight he only played 7 minutes. The other night I think he played a little bit more than that. We saw significant minutes for the dancing bear Gershon Yabusele, who is a fan favorite amongst the Boston Celtics fans. I know I've seen in a lot of discussion forums fans calling for more minutes for Gershon Yabusele, and he was relatively effective in the time on he spent on the court. 5 points, 3 rebounds, in 17 minutes off the bench, 1 for 3 from three, which isn't terrible for a guy that almost never plays. Shane Larkin, 34 minutes off the bench. His box score, 9.7 assists, 4 rebounds. Pretty impressive for the kid, you know, coming in there, handling business with a depleted backcourt in the absence of Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown. Coming in and really being active for the Boston Celtics. I don't think you could ask for more from Shane Larkin, even though his numbers don't really jump out at you. They really kind of do if you look at 9.7 assists and 4 rebounds. If that were Lonzo Ball, Skip Bayless would be on TV talking about how great those stats are. But he held it down for the Boston Celtics bench. We already talked about Greg Monroe. I'm just going down the box score right now. Shemi Ojeleye got 12 minutes. I mean, these are the players that Brad Stevens are, not to degrade them, but these are guys that are young, that are rookies or that have minimal NBA experience or that are used to playing condensed, very shortened minutes in, you know, not – I guess not. I don't want to say not very important games, but you know, usually in garbage time. And these are guys that are now coming into, you know, significant minutes into the rotation. Like I said, 34 minutes for Shane Larkin. Who would have saw that this deep into the season for the Boston Celtics? And then of course the starters, Jason Tatum, rookie, 13 points. Terry Rozier, third-year guy, still a young guy, hasn't had this many minutes, you know, consistently until this season, 34 minutes, again tonight leading, as I mentioned. Marcus Morris, the hero, again, 30 points on 9 for 13, shooting 35 minutes. And Al Horford, still looking like average Al. I think that would probably be the one downside for the Boston Celtics tonight is, again, Al Horford made some critical shots. I won't be completely down on Al Horford. I don't want to be one of the negative Nancys on Al and pile on Al. He had some significant buckets, some significant plays, some significant rebounds down in the clutch, in crunch time when the Boston Celtics needed it most. But his overall stat line, especially for a starter with 32 minutes, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He did have 2 blocks, including a very impressive block late in the fourth quarter that I guess you consider crunch time was a nice looking block. Al Horford contributed tonight, I would say, when he needed to, but again, not really a player that, you know, not looking like a player that you can really lean on for a whole lot of things. He's, you know, even his assist numbers tonight, you know, when Al Horford doesn't score, I like to see Al Horford with big assist numbers. I don't expect him to be massive on the rebounds, but I expect him to grab his, you know, his 6 or 7. And if he's not scoring, and I consider 11 points, you know, barely scoring for a guy like Al Horford for the salary that he's getting, he should have those assists that he normally has where he's running the offense. But again, I think Al Horford is suffering from the lack of Kyrie Irving. The fact that, you know, Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart are not in the game, are not playing to set him up with the pick and rolls and pick and pops. So what we're seeing from Al Horford right now is kind of an inconsistency based on, you know, the rotation of guards. He doesn't know if Shane Larkin is going to be playing 30 minutes tonight or 10 minutes tonight. So he's, you know, really going off, you know, who's basically an ever-changing rotation and doesn't really have a consistent game, and he's left to his own devices to create his own offense, and I don't think that's what Al Horford is best at. I think Al Horford's best offensive moves when he's left to create for himself come in the post where he's backing somebody down, and usually that ends up being a fadeaway lately when you watch Al Horford backing somebody down, especially if he catches the ball, you know, closer to the high post. You'll back him down a little bit, get him a little bit closer to the basket, and you'll get that, you know, fadeaway over the shoulder shot that, you know, sometimes hits and sometimes doesn't. And then the rest of his offense is, you know, kind of spot up shooting, you know, when he doesn't have the pick and roll or pick and pop option, or not as good of a pick and roll pick and pop option, because as fantastic as Terry Rozier has been, Terry Rozier is not a refined pick and roll pick and pop type player with Al Horford. So I'm not going to come too hard on Al Horford, but again, you would like to see Al Horford, you know, not be a negative 6 in the plus minus if you like the plus minus there. And if you're just going to have Al Horford, and he never just does that, but you know, if Al Horford's going to be a post type player, might as maybe give a couple more minutes to Greg Monroe, because Greg Monroe, whenever he gets the ball down in the post, bad turnovers tonight for Greg Monroe. 4 turnovers, didn't like that. Some of them I don't think were his fault. But if you're going to have a, you know, slow down post-up game, Greg Monroe is the guy to control the tempo. So anyways, once again, the Boston Celtics win this game in Portland, kicking off their 4-game West Coast road trip, 105-100 over the Portland Trailblazers, who at several points in the game had double-digit leads. But the Boston Celtics, this ragtag, you know, gang of misfits, I guess we can say, led by the mastermind Brad Stevens, who can game plan for everybody else, went into Portland and won this game, 105-100. Before we talk about the injuries to the players and some of the injury updates, we'd just like to mention a couple of things about playoff positioning, because it is somewhat relevant to this game. The Boston Celtics, for the most part, are going to be the number 2 seed, barring, you know, some type of catastrophic event or something abnormal with basketball. The Boston Celtics are going to be the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference come playoff time. They have about a 5-game lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers. It might be higher after tonight's win against the Portland Trailblazers, but a 5, 5.5, 6-game lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers, who aren't getting any better anytime soon, folks. The Cleveland Cavaliers are what they are. When it comes to playoff time, you're going to see a different team. They're going to be a little bit better, but the East is open right now. It's unfortunate the Boston Celtics have these injuries and are completely healthy, because the East could be open right now, but the Cleveland Cavaliers aren't making any run to come up to the number two seed or challenge the Boston Celtics for the number two seed. So in being 4 or 5 games behind the Toronto Raptors for the number one seed, the Boston Celtics aren't going anywhere. The 1-2-3 seed are essentially going to be the Toronto Raptors, the Boston Celtics, and most likely the Cleveland Cavaliers. Maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers play well or try to play their best to maintain whatever lead they have over the number four seed. Not positive who that is at this point. I think there's a little bit of a logjam between the 4 or 5, the 3, 4, 5, 6 in the Eastern Conference, but the Boston Celtics are pretty much locked into the number two seed. However, the Portland Trailblazers on the other side are basically fighting with every team that's not named the Houston Rockets or Golden State Warriors for positioning in the Western Conference, because all of these teams are within a few games, 2, 3, 3.5 games of each other. The Portland Trailblazers are currently in third place. And then you have Oklahoma City in fourth place, I think 3, 3.5 games behind them after tonight. New Orleans, who's basically in the exact same position. San Antonio, basically in the with the exact same record, a very similar record, all within a game or a game and a half of each other after that third spot. So the Western Conference, very jam-packed down there, similar to the Eastern Conference, I guess, after the third seed. Both conferences are kind of stacked there in the middle. The Portland Trailblazers had something to play for tonight. This win was not a fluke. The Portland Trailblazers had something to play for tonight, and the Boston Celtics took their best shot, and they won. 105-100. And even though it didn't mean anything to the Boston Celtics in terms of the Boston Celtics playoff positioning, they still went in there, and these kids that don't often get much time to play, they're making the most of their playing time, either in stats, timely plays, and hustles, or just showing poise. This is the type of experience that, you know, it may not seem important now, but we see how important the playing time for Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier was playing in the Eastern Conference Finals last season. It's that important for kids like Jason Tatum to play in these moments now to gain this experience and to get that experience going forward in the playoffs once the playoffs come, because you can't imitate or you can't simulate that type of pressure or that type of situation in practice or in any other situation other than actually playing in it. So it's important that this team, whoever's on the court, whether Marcus Smart comes back or not, whether Kyrie Irving has something else going on, this team needs to continue playing and playing well and beating these other teams, these quality teams like the Portland Trailblazers, like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because if they can do that, these kids, Jason Tatum, that's all it takes for Jason Tatum is the confidence to know that he can do whatever he wants in the NBA once he gets all of his tools together. And growing confidence against good teams like the Portland Trailblazers, third place in the Western Conference, Oklahoma City Thunder, with three, you know, all-stars. Carmelo Anthony is no longer an all-star, but, you know, was an all-star at some point with, you know, three all-star caliber players, beating them, fourth place in the Western Conference. That gains confidence for these players, and it's important that they continue to do so and continue to win. So what they're playing for now is pride, and sometimes you can get complacent in situations like this where you're not changing anything. The Boston Celtics aren't playing themselves out of second place or in the first place, but it's good for the players to get ready and get that experience, because if Kyrie Irving, and I expect Kyrie Irving to come back, and we'll get into, I guess, discussion of the injury reports and injury updates now, I would expect Kyrie Irving to come back, but there is some talk that the Boston Celtics are considering, our Boston Celtics organization are considering shutting him down to make sure that he is better for the beginning of next season. Because as CLNS Media reported today, and if I read the article correctly, the procedure that Kyrie Irving needs to have to fix his knee, which I've read and heard referred to as a cleanup procedure from his previous knee injury and a previous surgery that he had while he was still with the Cavaliers a couple of years ago, this cleanup procedure is an invasive procedure and would require Kyrie Irving to miss at least 4 months of basketball once he has that. You can see where this is going. If Kyrie Irving has a surgery that puts him out for 4 months or more after the playoffs, if they make a deep run into the playoffs, that starts cutting into his rehabilitation time, starts cutting into his playing time come next season, the beginning of next season. So the mentality will be if he's not getting any better, if he's not going to be effective, if there's a risk of possibly causing structural damage, at which point right now there is none, but if there's any risk of that, why bother doing it now if it's just going to delay the healing process of the bigger procedure? But Kyrie Irving is having what I've seen referred to as a less invasive procedure tomorrow. Or I should say Saturday, that will keep him out for probably, and I'm not sure, I haven't read anything, but keep him, I would guarantee he'd be shut down if he has this procedure, shut down at least until the beginning of the playoffs, but with the expectation that after that he'll be reevaluated and the decision will be made whether or not he comes back for some point in the playoffs. So Kyrie Irving, there's a lot of speculation up in the air right now as to what's going to happen to Kyrie Irving, if it's better to maybe just shut him down and what's going on. Similar, thing with Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was given a 4 to 6 week diagnosis, and then he would be reevaluated for a prognosis on his a torn tendon in his hand. I believe he received that torn tendon diving for a loose ball. He continued to play on it in the game. I forgot which game it was. About a week ago, a week and a half ago. Diving for a ball, tore a tendon, continued to play through that game, but then had the thumb looked at. So Marcus Smart is weeks away, will not be available likely for the beginning of the playoffs or the first round, but will be aiming for a second round type of thing. But of course, this depends. If Kyrie Irving gets shut down, then there's not really much reason to then bring everybody back. Jaylen Brown is probably the best of these situations, where Jaylen Brown had a very scary accident, injury, dunking a basketball, slipping off while swinging on the rim. It wasn't his fault that he was showboating or anything, nothing like that, swinging on the rim, just trying, to catch his momentum. Fingers slipped off, and he crashed on the ground and suffered a concussion, as most Boston Celtics fans already know. The last thing that I read about Jaylen Brown is that Jaylen Brown should be ready to go sometime in the next couple of games if they want to keep Jaylen Brown there. Some may be of the mentality that Jaylen Brown, just leave him out until the playoffs start, but I haven't heard anybody say that yet. I think he's going to come back, and he's going to come back sooner than later to come and play and get ready for the playoffs, because these players are The Boston Celtics are going to the playoffs, whoever's actively on the roster or not. The Boston Celtics are going to the playoffs, and they're going to field the team, as they say, even though it's not a field, it's a court. But they're going to field the team, and they are going to play. And they're probably going to win some games, and I think even if they went into the playoffs with this roster right now, I don't think those teams even the Miami Heat, if that's who they link up with, I think that's who the number 7 seed is right now. The Miami Heat would still have a difficult time with a team like the Boston Celtics, especially with the addition of a player like Greg Monroe that can challenge Hassan Whiteside in the post. And I'm not even sure Hassan Whiteside is even playing, but if it's not Hassan Whiteside, Kelly Olynyk has been tearing it up, if anybody follows the Miami Heat. I moved from Massachusetts down to Florida several years ago, but I don't follow the Miami Heat. But I've seen different things on social media, different memes that Kelly Olynyk is doing really well down in Miami. So being able to Kelly Olynyk is not fast. He's not going to beat, you know, Greg Monroe off, you know, off the dribble and kill Greg Monroe. So the ability to throw Greg Monroe at a team like Miami, this Boston Celtics team is still going to compete in the playoffs, whether Marcus Smart or these guys come back or not, whether they shut down Kyrie Irving or not. And I don't want to scare anybody with anything. I don't know anything specifically, but just from reading multiple different sources and I can't tell you, you know, how I don't read anything that's trash. So nothing that I've read is from a garbage source. But how, you know, close to actual, you know, the players and trainers' mouths, those sources from the regular news outlets, and we're talking about, you know, NESN and NBC Sports Boston and ESPN or whatever else, however close they are, however reliable their sources. But that's what it's looking like for Kyrie Irving, is that Kyrie Irving is already tomorrow having a minor procedure that's going to keep him out at least until the beginning of the playoffs, and then probably from there the Boston Celtics are going to decide if he's ready to go or if they should just go for the surgery that he's needed, that he's the surgery that he threatened the Cleveland Cavaliers with before he was traded, saying that he was going to sit out the season by having that surgery before the season started. So Kyrie, it's been known that Kyrie Irving is going to need this surgery. It's just a case of soreness and swelling and looking at the Boston Celtics' chances. But boy, can Brad Stevens really put a team together. Once again, I'd like to remind everybody, this is the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show, broadcasting live. We'd like to remind you that the toll-free call lines are open, 347-215-7771, sponsored by SeatGeek.com. And we'd also like to take a moment to remind you that this episode of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show is sponsored by RX Bar, a whole food protein bar. What does that mean? It means that our bars are made with 100% whole ingredients. We want to be transparent and upfront with our customers, which is why we label the core ingredients, egg whites, dates, and nuts on the front of the package, and the ingredients that make up texture and taste on the back, such as 100% real cacao, coconut, apple spice, etc. Beyond being a go-to snack that checks off a number of nutritional boxes, RX bars actually taste delicious. We found creating a bar made from real whole food ingredients actually tastes better than anything out there. We don't need the fillers, the additives, the chemicals, or the added sugar that the big-name corporate manufacturers put into their product. And for 25% off your first order, just for our special, just for our CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show listeners, go to rxbar.com/CLNS and enter the promo code CLNS at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's right, 25% off, one quarter, 25% off your first order. That's a pretty significant discount, so you definitely want to check that out. Again, the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show. Not sure how much longer I can fill up the time. Not sure how much longer you want to listen to me. The Boston Celtics won, heading into Portland against the Trailblazers, 105-100, led by 30 points for Marcus Morris. Jason Tatum, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Continuing his solid play, rookie phenomenon, definitely making a case. Although his scoring wasn't out of this world, the way that he does it, the way that he makes his team look good, the way that he's helping to lead, he's been the constant. Jason Tatum has been the player for the Boston Celtics that hasn't missed a game, that hasn't missed any time, that's been there the entire season for Brad Stevens. So Jason Tatum is making a case. He's not a second-year player like Ben Simmons, who's been working with NBA, you know, trainers for a year already and then coming into the league, you know, without any expectation put on him. This was a Boston Celtics team that came into this season before all the injuries and before everything else happened, a Boston Celtics team that came into the season with expectations of challenging the Cleveland Cavaliers for the first place in the East. If anyone were to tell you that the Cleveland Cavaliers are crashing and burning, worse than we've seen before, going into the Eastern Conference, and the Eastern Conference looked like it may be wide open, everybody would tell you that the Boston Boston Celtics were the team that they would expect to win the Eastern Conference. But with all these injuries, this is happening. But Jason Tatum is the guy, the man, the one guy who hasn't missed any games for Brad Stevens. And he's proving his maturity beyond his years and making a case for Rookie of the Year by being that important for the Boston Celtics. Outside of Boston, and I don't know if this is a stretch. Maybe it is, maybe it is. I don't know. But outside of Kyrie Irving, I mean, by most valuable, I don't mean most productive, but he may be one of the Celtics' most valuable players. He's one of the Celtics' go-to players. And Jason Tatum, once again, came through for the Boston Celtics tonight. Terry Rozier having a breakout season for the Boston Celtics. 16 points tonight, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. A fantastic all-around game, although, again, shooting a whole lot and missing a whole lot, but the Boston Celtics still won. So getting to the free-throw line as well. Jason Terry is extremely fast and extremely athletic. I know within the Boston Celtics world, there's a lot of debate, you know, between, you know, who the Boston Celtics, you know, should keep, or, you know, who's a better player, who should get more minutes, or those type of things. Marcus Smart or Terry Rozier, since they both play similar positions, they're both combo guards. They're very different in the way that they play. But Terry Rozier is really proving that he's a two-way threat. He's effective on defense. He's not as disruptive as Marcus Smart. He's not as gritty and grimy. He doesn't sacrifice his body as much as Marcus Smart, but if you're watching Terry Rozier, he is playing lately. He's playing with a passion. He's flying around there. He's falling on the ground the way Allen Iverson used to do. And Terry Rozier gets a lot of respect if you follow you know, the players' words. If you follow Twitter, if you follow some of these things, you will hear a lot of players saying a lot of good things about Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier is going to be a starting caliber player if he isn't already. Well, he already is starting, but he's proving his worth as a starting caliber player for any team. He's going to be, for Danny Ainge, either a very valuable trade chip or he could be part of the future. It's very exciting to watch guys like Terry Rozier come out and play significant basketball. Once again, last minute, 347-215-7771 is the call-in lines. If the call lines are empty thus far tonight, so since I don't see too many calls and I've gone over this game pretty thoroughly, talked about the injury report pretty thoroughly, gone over the keys, talked about some of these players, I think I might just cut this episode about 15 minutes short tonight. But in summation, once again, Brad Stevens, genius. This win is on the team, but Brad Stevens, he sure knows how to draw up game plans. He sure knows how to exploit his matchups. He sure knows how to put his players in a position to win, because the Boston Celtics, for the second game in a row, just 3 games removed from the last-second miracle shot by Marcus Morris that defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder in TD Garden, the Boston Celtics go to Portland and defeat the Trailblazers, the third place team in the Western Conference currently, by 105 by a score of 105-100, by fabulous all-around play. Boston Celtics bench killing it. Marcus Morris really showing out to be a hero for the Boston Celtics. And if he can continue to do this, Marcus Morris is the guy that the Boston Celtics need to keep around, because he has been breaking out this year. Just one last thing. I think that for the longest time, at least my impression was, not really following the Morris twins myself, that Mike Keefe was generally considered the better Morris twin for most of their time in the league. And now it's really seeming like Marcus Morris is taking this team on his shoulders. And some of the shots that he takes, you just shake your head that he can make the type of shots that Marcus Morris makes. Just another night where we're shaking our head, where fans are shaking their heads at just how fantastic Marcus Morris has been. And with that, I think that's a fantastic way to end the show, is with praise for Marcus Morris, the hero once again, as the Boston Celtics win defeat the Portland Trailblazers 105-100. I am your host, Nick Sesento, for CLNS Media, and this is the Boston Celtics post-game show, signing out.
is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.